There is a war on America as founded, and those who are opposed to the United States will sometimes use things such as past sins, such as slavery, which was not unique to America, to justify their crusade against America as founded. What's interesting about America, though, is that it was unique that in our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, we said all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And of course, about 76 years later, 47 years ago, 87 years later, America had a civil war over the very issue related to slavery. The idea articulated in the Declaration of Independence did not work and did not gel well with the idea that part of the country would have lots of slaves. And so by the grace of God, slavery was ended after the Civil War. It was made illegal. Now, Booker T. Washington is an American who was born as a slave, but through faith in the Lord, through hard work and education, which was very difficult even to accomplish for him. He was disadvantaged in so many different ways, but he accomplished many positive things for himself and for his people. What's amazing to me, though, is that we live in a day of heroes and anti-heroes, of villains and true heroes. And what's happened is that somebody like Booker T. Washington, he should be known by everybody acknowledged for his great achievements. And there are some circles where they basically ignore him or they even vilify him. Best-selling author Bill Federer has written a book entitled The Strength and Genius of Booker T. Washington. He joins us now to discuss this amazing American. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Bill, it is great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jerry.
So what is your assessment of Booker T. Washington? Is he a hero, a true hero, or why would even some view him in a negative light? I mean, that is some within the black community. I don't get it. I mean, this guy is like a model in every way, including even as a Christian.
Right. So he was born as a slave, and he was remembers his mom praying that slavery would end. And he says, and some guy came in to camp and pulled out a piece of paper in the plantation and read it. And he said, my mom started crying and said, this was the day that we had all prayed for. And anyway, then he goes with his mom and a stepdad to West Virginia. He works in a coal mine and then a salt furnace because they would have, you know, a spring of water with it coming up through a salt deposit. It'd be salty water, but then they'd boil off the salt and they'd have the crystals and they called it a salt furnace. And then he went to school and he worked all these different jobs, finally went to Tuskegee Institute in Hampton, Virginia, and he graduated and then he went to seminary. And Wayland Bible Seminary. And
I'm sorry. I'm confused. You said he went to Tuskegee? I thought that's something he founded later in the state of Alabama.
Excuse me. So he went to the Hampton Bible, Hampton.
In Virginia, not in Alabama. Okay. That comes later. All right. Go on.
And then he graduated and became a Bible school teacher in and then went back to West Virginia, and then he went back to the Hampton Institute to speak, and they hired him. And then he worked on staff for a while, and then you had former Civil War generals starting freemen's universities for blacks. And so the Hampton Institute was founded by a person who grew up as a missionary in Hawaii, Samuel Armstrong, and and so he recommended that Booker T. be the president of a new university they were starting in Alabama called Tuskegee. He goes down there. He starts it in a Methodist Episcopal church and then has the students bake bricks and they use the bricks to build the buildings. And then he has his wife help him and then she dies and then he marries another and then she dies and then he marries a third wife. But he just pours himself into this university. And hires people like George Washington Carver, who came down and built the whole agricultural department. And then He ends up meeting with presidents. And so he gets President William McKinley to come down to Tuskegee. And then he meets with Teddy Roosevelt. And but the one big thing is he spoke at the 1890s. They had a sort of like a World's Fair, but it was in Alabama, and it was their big exposition. And he was the first black man invited to speak at this. And all the former slaves were like, you know, hey, stand up for us. And then all the Democrats in the South, right? Lincoln, Republican, freed the slaves. Ulysses S. Grant, Republican, left the soldiers in the South to give rights to the freed slaves. The Reconstruction was ended, and then the Democrats took over their state legislatures, and they passed Jim Crow's and black codes and the KKK, and they would do lynchings. Tuskegee Institute, by the way, did research, and they documented 4,400-plus lynchings. 1,200 of those were white Republicans down in the South registering the free blacks to vote. The Democrats were lynching Republicans as well as – and so this was the tensions that was going on, and – Booker T. Washington speaks at this exposition, and his famous message of cast down your buckets where you are. In other words, he says to the—
It's along the lines of bloom where you planted, which, by the way, you brought that out in a previous discussion about this. But Bill, why isn't this guy a national hero? Why is he so ignored? His book, Up From Slavery, is one of the most encouraging books you can read. It's like motivation, you know, it's very motivational.
Right. And Tuskegee grew to 2,000 students, faculty at 200, teaching 38 trades. What happened? W.E.B. Du Bois, he was a elitist from the North who had a church pay for him to go to Harvard. And then he goes over to Germany and he falls in love with socialism and he praises the socialists in Germany. And then he goes over to Russia and he praises the socialists in Russia with Stalin. And he even went to China and met Mao Zedong and praised the socialists and the communists in China. And he derided Booker T. And he said, instead of working hard, and Booker T's attitude was the best way to lift yourself up is to lift up somebody else and to be a Christian. And he says, make yourself needed. I don't want you to just be tolerated. I want you to be needed. And then he said, become successful. He says, I don't want you to just get a job. I want you to create jobs. Anybody can get a job. I want you to create jobs. And then he told him to buy real estate. And he started the Negro Chamber of Commerce 10 years before the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was started. And they had a Black Wall Street. And his idea was, let's follow the pattern of every wave of immigrants. So the immigrants, Irish, Jews, you know, Italians, had come to America and they'd be at the low level, last rung of the social ladder. And they would be discriminated against, but they would work hard, pool their money, and they would send their kids to school, and they'd end up becoming more successful. And as soon as they had money, then they would move up the social ladder. And so Booker T says, we got to become successful. And but yet W.E.B. Du Bois said, no, you're kissing up to the white man system. Just demand reparations. And W.E.B. Du Bois criticized Booker T. And Booker T writes, he says, there are some race problem solvers that don't want the patient to get well. As long as the disease holds out, they find an easy way of making a living by advertising the grievances of the black man. And so if you were to look at it, Booker T is sort of the ideological, you know, spiritual father of people like Clarence Thomas and Ben Carson and, you know, Thomas Sowell and Larry Elder and these people that, you know, they're black men and women, you know, Condoleezza Rice. They work hard and they move up. Well, W.E.B. Du Bois is sort of the spiritual originator of what turned into Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Van Jones, all these ones that are demanding reparations, BLM, you know, tear things down. Right? And so the roots of today's racial class goes back to this time period of between Booker T. and W.E.B. Du Bois. And but Booker T. was a Christian, and he talked about that that you forgive. And he says, I, by the grace of God, God has cleansed my heart of all the hatred I had toward the Southern white man. And he says, I pity from the bottom of my heart anybody who holds race prejudice. Every wise man makes friends with his neighbors, whether they're white or black. And but the W.E.B. Du Bois, his in 1960, he joins the U.S. Communist Party, and then he repudiates his American citizenship and goes over to Ghana where he dies. But W.E.B. Du Bois' teaching infiltrates all these historic black universities, and that's where you get these the agitator teaching. And then there's an interesting chapter I put in the book of Manning Johnson. And so he was a black man who joined the Communist Party in America and in the 1930s ran for Congress in New York as a communist. But then he realized that the communists didn't want to better the state of the black men. They just wanted to sow division. And so he's talked about in his book how some successful black men wanted to have a hospital and have it be first class. He said, Jews have hospitals, Catholics have hospitals, we want a hospital. And then these communist people were like undermining their efforts. And then he said these successful black men wanted to build a real estate development and have it be first class with fountains and bridges and everything. And he saw these guys, the communists, were undercutting. He goes, you don't want to help our people. You just want to use us to bring your division. And so he said that Stalin was the one who picked the race problem for the divider of America, because the communists would do something called critical theory, where they'd study a country and observe all the groups ethnically, Bosnians, Croats, Serbs, religiously, Sunni, Shia, Orthodox, or, you know, racially, whatever. And they would pick which ones are victims, which ones are oppressors, and they'd stir them up to fight. And then in the confusion, they would seize control of the country. And so he said Stalin himself picked the race problem to be the one to stir up, to weaken America so that the socialists could take over. And so it's a fascinating study of and even Malcolm X, he gives a quote.
We have about 2 minutes left. By the way, are these things found in your book about Booker T. Washington?
Yeah, yeah. And there's great quotes. You know, and Booker T is always talking about the Bible. He says, here's one quote. We must incorporate God's laws into our thoughts and words and acts. Frequent references to the Bible, to the freedom that comes from being a Christian. A man is free in just proportion as he learns to live within God's laws. Another quote from Booker T, to live the real religious life is in some measure to share in the character of God. He said, systematic reading and prayerful study of the Bible is the second outward help, which I would commend to those whom I wish to see make the most of their spiritual life. Many people regard the Bible as a wonderful piece of literature only, but nowhere in all literature can be found a finer bit of oratory of St. Paul's defense before King Agrippa. And the Bible should be read as a daily guide to right living and a daily incentive to positive Christian service. I mean, these are powerful statements by Booker T. And so I collected all these and put them in this book, and The Strength and Genius of Booker T. Washington.
Okay, Bill, this is great. We have about a minute left. AmericanMinute.com is your website. What were you saying about Malcolm X?
Oh, he said that he goes, the white conservative and the white liberal, they both want power, but the white liberal is more deceptive. And he acts like they want to help the black man, but they don't. They want to use us as a football, and they want to take advantage of us. But it's interesting because even Malcolm X talked about being disillusioned by, you know, the socialists and the communists that promise to help the people, but they don't want to help them. They just want to use them to advance their political agenda.
Isn't that amazing? Well, I think at the end of the day, look. We need heroes to emulate, and I think Booker T. Washington is one of those. I remember reading years ago when I read Up from Slavery, it was so difficult for the guy to get an education, what you and I and the average American today could, you know, easily take for granted. And it's just such an encouraging, motivational thing to read about heroes like Booker T. Washington. AmericanMinute.com for more information. The name of Bill's book is The Strength and Genius of Booker T. Washington. Thanks, Bill. All the best.
Thank you.